All right, well, greetings from California. The data from this work is from MLB and from Baseball Savant. And I'd like to thank Travis Peterson and Tom Tango from MLB for their help with this project. So I'm gonna start with a little bit of a review. Batted ball outcomes depend on a number of variables that are beyond the control of the batter and the pitcher, things like the defense, the ball, and because of these things, statistics that depend on batted ball outcomes, batting average, have a lower reliability than other statistics that don't depend on. And this makes the prediction of future performance on batted balls for batters and pitchers a difficult task. One of the things that we've learned is that we can increase the reliability of batted ball statistics by using sensor data. So for each batted ball, we get the vertical velocity, the horizontal spray angle H, and the batted ball exit speed S. And we can combine these into ball values. So we have a Bayesian method that computes the posterior probability of each possible function of the batted ball vector X, just a vector of the speed, the two angles. Then we can take different linear combinations probabilities and get various statistics. The linear combinations D, we change the weights, we can get batting average, slugging, and WOBA, for example. So here we have these probabilities for a line drive to the outfield. This is exit speed of 97, vertical angle of 12 degrees. And we're plotting with horizontal angle H down here. The left end of the plot is the third baseline, and then the right end of the plot is first baseline. So we can look at, for example, the red curve is the probability of a double. And we see that we get the highest probabilities of a double for balls that are down the line, or for balls that are between the outfielders, and then the probability.
Sorry, yes. Sorry to interrupt there, Glenn. Your slides are not advancing as you speak here.
Oh, I'm sorry, they're advancing on my computer. So you're not seeing one with event probability
no,
on
we're
it?
We're still on your first slide here.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
I think it works best in slideshow mode, if you would go to that for us, please.
Yeah, I am in slideshow mode. Well, you have my slides there, right? You have my PowerPoint file, I think.
So now we're seeing event probability.
Okay. Is it big enough? You can see it?
Yeah.
Okay. It's small on my computer, but I can work from it. So we're good?
Yeah, I think we'll see.
Okay. All right. Let me go ahead one just for fun here.
Yeah, and I think the more consistently you can keep stay close to your microphone, the sound kind of cuts in and out as well.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. Is that a little better?
Yes.
All right. So you want me to start over, or I can just go from here?
I think from here is good.
Okay. All right, so we've got then the, this is a line drive to the outfield from a right-handed batter, and we're plotting here the probability of each of the different events as a function of the horizontal angle. Again, we've got third baseline on the left end of the plot, and we've got first baseline on the right end of the plot. And the red curve was probability of doubles, so we see that's maximum for balls down the line, left field line, right field line, and between the outfielders. And then the probability of outs is this black curve here. Now, those are for balls hit directly at the outfielders. And then singles kind of go inverse to the probability of the doubles. And there's a very small probability of a triple for this particular ball. And we can compute from these various statistics, batting average, slugging percentage, WOBA. So we see that the blue curve, the slug is the highest, and then the batting average and the wOBA cross over each other. Curves. The technical method that we're using is a non-parametric machine learning technique called estimation that adapts to the size and structure of the data. And that's what we use to compute the conditional densities in the rule. And the important point here is that this generalizes easily to higher later. We have this smoothing vector that gets estimated. Given this, we are going to use wOBA as our statistic because that has the highest correlation to run value. So we can take the batted ball parameters, the vector SVH, and we can plot that as a point in a 3D space or an X cube. And when we go to that point, the method will tell us the wOBA for that particular point. And if we want to look at what this cube does, we can take various slices through the cube. So I'm going to show you a few of those. This is the slice for 93 miles an hour. And the color is the wOBA. And then we've got horizontal angle. Take a slice through the bottom, horizontal slice through the bottom. We see we get the four cold zones corresponding to the third baseman, shortstop, second baseman, first baseman. We take a slice through the middle here. We get cold zones for the left fielder, center fielder, right fielder, and then we can see for say balls down the line at a higher vertical angle, these are the home runs to left, home runs to right, and then if you hit the same batted ball as center field, that tends to be an out. And we can take some other slices. These are two different exit speeds for a ground ball with a vertical angle of minus two, plotted again as a function of the horizontal angle. We see we get four minima corresponding again to the positions of the four infielders. And for the red ball that gets hit harder, you see that the batter's results. And this next one is for a ball in the air at a vertical angle of plus 15. Again, we've got two different speeds. And in this case, the batter tends to get a worse result when he hits it harder. It tends to carry to the outfielder. And again, the three minima in these curves are the left fielder, center fielder, and the right fielder. And we actually generate two wOBA cubes. We generate one for left-handed batters. Here is what we get for the two different types of batters as a function of horizontal angle for the ground ball. And we see the minima are shifted about 7 degrees to the left. Positioning, and this is the same idea for the ball in the air. And we see here that we're shifted about 3 degrees to the left. These are some of the slices we can look at through the wOBA cube. All right, so you can ask, what good is all this besides keeping me entertained? And what we can do here is we can compute averages of the statistics that we get from the intrinsic values. So we're going to define I as just the average time of a batter's wOBA cube values. And then for comparison, we're going to define a statistic O, which is the player's actual observed WOBA on contact. I doesn't depend on the particular outcomes. O is defined by the particular outcomes. And one way we can evaluate these statistics is by computing the reliability. So here we're using the Cronbach's alpha estimate of reliability. N is the number of batted balls on the horizontal axis. And the black curve is the intrinsic statistic, and the red curve is the observed statistic. And we see that we get a much higher reliability for the intrinsic batted ball. And let me show you an example of what reliability is. So it's derived from measurements of split half correlations for the data. So another way to look at this is the scatter plot And what we've done here is we've taken a set of batters, 400 batted balls for a season, and we divide them into 200 even and 200 odd batted balls. Hit. And then each point on the scatter plot is a particular batter. And we're just looking at how the one half correlates with the other half. So if this statistic was perfectly reliable, then we would expect to see all the points lie on a line with a slope of one. You can see they don't. And again, this is for the observed wOBA on contact. We get a correlation there of about 0.32. And if we take the intrinsic statistic for the same batted balls in this scatter plot, we see that the distribution is much tighter. We get a much higher correlation here of 0.63. And then people are often interested in talking about the point where the reliability crosses over one half, point at which the statistic stabilizes. Okay, so it's not like anything magic. And it's important because it's related to how much regression we have to apply to try and predict going forward. But we see that the crossover point comes a lot sooner for both batters and pitchers for the intrinsic statistic than for the observed statistic. We also see that it takes a lot more batted balls for us to get to 0.5 for the pitchers, which is pretty well known. McCracken had assumed that pitchers had no control over batted balls, but we see there's some, but it takes a long, long time to get there. From the reliability, we can get out the true talent standard deviation for the intrinsic quality of contact. So for batters, it's 35 wOBA points, and for pitchers, it's about 2.5 times smaller at 14 wOBA points. So you can get it for pitchers, but it is quite small. Now, as I'd mentioned, we can generalize this method to higher dimensions, so we can do the same thing for pitches. You know that a pitcher can throw a great pitch and get a bad result, lucky and get a good result. So we can maybe quantify pitcher performance better by using sensor measurements. And for a pitch, there's a few more. We have got to go to 5 measurements: the speed, the horizontal and vertical movement, and the horizontal and vertical components of the location. In addition, the value of a pitch depends on the count, and it depends on the handedness of the batter and the pitcher. But we can use the same kind of an approach, and we can take slices through the space. So this is just an example. For an OO count, right against right. These parameters are typically what we would see for a four-seam fastball. And the slice we're taking is just for the location from the catcher's perspective. And big values are good for the batter, and small values are good for the pitcher. So you see the best here for the pitch is down and away from the right-handed batter. And then just another example, this is for a pitch that's typically change up, right-handed pitcher, left-handed batter. And we see here that you really don't want to throw this over the middle of the plate, and the best location is down and away. And we can take other kinds of slices through the pitch space. Here we're fixing everything except the horizontal and the vertical movement. And we see the yellow here, that there's a band of combinations of horizontal and vertical movement that you really want to. So this is a type of thing that's useful for pitcher development or for pitch design. And we can look at the reliability just like we did for balls. And we see that the intrinsic pitch statistic, this was number of pitches is on the horizontal axis. We see much higher for the intrinsic than for the observed. The red curve, observed pitch values, those would be the things that you would find in graphs, and you see that they have a very low degree of repeatability. And we've got, doesn't want to advance. So this is another configuration. And we see that we get the same type of a result. We get a much higher reliability for the intrinsic pitch statistic than for the observed pitch statistic. And then we've got a paper if you want to look at more of these various reliability. Okay, so in summary, the intrinsic batted ball and pitch values have a higher reliability and higher predictive value than other statistics. There's a couple of journal papers here if you want to read more details or see more results. If you don't want to read papers, the Driveline guy video where they talk about these intrinsic values. Go watch the video. Now, we first did this for batted balls and for pitches back in 2014, based on 2014 data before we even had Batcast. So this was using HitFX. And one of the things we noticed that for the batters, the guys that tended to get better results than they would have deserved just based on their intrinsic quality of contact were guys that tended to be faster runners. So here you see at the top of the list, we've got Starling Marte, who's pretty fast. He led the league that year with 14 reach on airs, which is often correlated with being a fast runner. We see we've got guys like Billy Hamilton and Lorenzo Cain on the list. Guys like Jose Abreu are not very fast, but it turns out he had a lot of just enough home runs that year. There was even an article in the Wall Street Journal that had a title, Jose Abreu, Champion of the Cheap Home Run. So that's how he got to be second on this list. And then if we look at the guys with the lowest O minus I difference, guys that tended to underperform the most of just their quality of contact on their batted balls. You see, these are guys who are the slower runners. So we thought, well, we could maybe do better with this if we could bring in some of the running speed. But back in for the 2014 data, we didn't have that. But now we do. So with StatCast, there's a couple measures of the batter's running speed. There's the sprint speed, which is the batter's 1 second window. And there's also the time to first, which is the time from batted ball contact to the batter touching first base. So we felt that was more appropriate if we're trying to model what happens on batted balls, because the time to first incorporates the time to recover from the swing and the time for the batter to start the acceleration to first. We also know that batters are not always running as hard as they can down to first base. If they hit a pop-up on the infield, they're probably not sprinting to first. So we define a speed parameter, and we'll call it R. It's the average of a batter's three fastest times to first over the season. And we're doing this for 2018. And you can see here, we've got these times to first and R parameters for left and right-handed batters. As we'd expect, R is smaller than the average of the average of R is smaller than the average of time to first. And left-handed batters get to first faster than right-handed batters because they start closer. And these are the speed leaders for 2018. So these are list. And again, we see that the speed for the left-handed batters getting to first is quicker than for the fast right-handed batter. So the first thing we did was we looked at ground balls. We looked at all batted balls with a vertical angle of less than 10 degrees, and we're just plotting WOBA as a function of this R speed parameter, and we split it up for left-handed batters and for right-handed batters. And we see that the curves are, as we would expect, decreasing as the batter gets slower, as his time to first increases. And we also see that right-handed batters tend to have a higher WOBA for the same time to first than the left-handed batters. And that's because the right-handed batters hit more of their ground balls to the left side, where the throw to first is longer than it is for ground balls hit to the right side. So we saw this plot and we figured, okay, it looks like we can do something with this data. So we define what we call the Woba tesseract. So if you go up a dimension from a cube to four dimensions, that's called a tesseract. And the picture here is what a tesseract looks like if you project it into a plane. And so we're now modeling Woba as a function of four variables, okay, the three batted ball parameters, SVH, and the time to first R parameter. And for future reference, we're going to use I3 is going to refer to the average of a player's Woba cube values, just using the batted ball parameters. I4 is going to be the average of the tesseract values, which also incorporates the fourth variable, which is the running speed R. Okay, so we can take slices through the Woba tesseract like we did for the Woba cube. So this first example is a exit speed of 87 miles an hour, ground ball, vertical angle of -9 degrees, right-handed batter. And we've got two different R speed parameters. The red curve is 4 seconds, which is somewhat better than average. And then the black curve is 4.4 seconds, which is somewhat worse than average. And we see that, as we might expect, the faster runner usually does better. We also, you see, of course, the four minima corresponding to the positions of the four infielders. And we also see that the curves come together at the minima here. So that tells us that if a ball's hit directly at an infielder, the batter's running speed doesn't really help much, but it tends to help more as the batted ball forces the infielder to range. And the biggest values here are down the first baseline, horizontal angle around 40 degrees. And that's because this angle is often undefended against right-handed batters, and these balls can also often go for doubles. So we've got another slice here. And this is for a left-handed batter, a speed of 97 miles an hour and a vertical angle. And we see the minima for the left-handed batter shifted a little bit to the right. And we see that the minima for the balls hit at the infielders are almost the same, except for the third baseman over here. And the reason for that is the third baseman has to come in to respect the bunt a little bit more for the faster runner. So this batted ball hit at 97 miles an hour has a better chance of resulting in the batter reaching for the balls in the direction of the third baseman. And we see the biggest values here for balls down the third baseline, which are often undefended against the left-handed batter. Okay, so we can look at some tables. These are the, that's showing up weird, but these are the I3 leaders for 2018. So this is just based on the quality of contact, the Woba cube values, and these are probably not surprising. These are guys that tend to hit the ball pretty well. And then this next chart is the I4 leaders. So now we're incorporating the running speed, and we see we get a couple new guys that move onto the leaderboard, Trevor Story and Mookie Betts. Better than average speed first. That some of the slower guys move down when we compare the I4 to the I3. Guys like Gallo, Martinez, Judge, and Goldschmidt. We can also look here at the highest values of I4 minus I3. So the guys that we would expect to do the most better based on their running speed and on their collection of batted balls. So we see here that Cody Bellinger's at the top of the list. He gets about a 25 Woba point gain over average. If you see two values for R, that's switch hitters. So they have a value of R getting to first from both the left side and from the right side. And all the guys here have better than average running speed first. And then we've got the lowest I4 minus I3. So these are the guys that you would expect to lose the most because of their calls, and we've got Mike Rundell at the top, and you see guys who's around 35. And here we've got the guys with the highest actual observed Wobicon compared to the Wobic cube values. And these are guys that can benefit, that are benefiting both from their running speed R, and there can be other factors too. We notice Carlos Gonzalez and Trevor Story are on the list, and they both benefit from playing that year in Colorado. You see all these guys are faster than average as well. We also see that the size of O minus I4, the tesseract values, are more accurate than just the Wobic cube values in every case, the O minus I3. And then the next plot here is the guys with the lowest O minus I3. So these are the guys that perform the worst relative to their Wobic cube values, the values just based on the quality of contact. And all these guys are slower. And a number of these guys, another factor is that they're shifted on aggressively. So the top three here were shifted on a lot in addition to being slow. And also Victor Martinez and Matt Carpenter were shifted on a lot. We also see here that the absolute value of the O minus I4 is bigger than what we get for the O minus I3. So the Tesseract model is capturing more of the variance in every case than just the cube measurement. So we're getting value out of this fourth dimension. Okay, so in summary, we've developed the Wobic Tesseract, which combines StatCast batted ball and time to first measurements. It gives us an improved model for Wobic on contact. And there's a number of possible applications. We can optimize performance projections. We can use this to monitor batters over time. Since we've taken the running speed to first out of the equation, this gives us a little bit better opportunity to study ballpark and shift effects. And we can also use this to improve defensive metrics since we have the time to first. So the same kind of thing that MLB is doing with their outs above average. So that's it. If we have time and the technology allows, I can answer questions.